Morning, everyone. Good, good. So everybody is awake this morning, even after the country drinks. So I hope you're all having a good time in Madrid. Everybody having a good week so far? Excellent, excellent. So thank you for attending my session today. My name's Gordon McKenna. I'm actually a System Center Cloud and Data Center Management MVP. Bit of a mouthful, much easier when I was just a SCOM MVP. I'm also CEO of a UK Microsoft partner called Infomon, and we kind of just specialize in the Microsoft System Center suite of the products. So my background is all the way back to the kind of mission critical NetIQ days of operations manager. And the session today is called Effective Capacity Planning of Your Infrastructure Resources with System Center 2012 Operations Manager Reporting. So I went for the longest title at TechEd this week, as you can see. Just a quick round of hands. I mean, how many people have our developers in the room would class themselves as developers? Okay, one in the front. Okay. Oh, hang on a second. What's going on here? Just bear me a sec. Right, now this is why you should always put into presentation mode.
Hello.
Hello, boss. Can you...
Hi, London. Where are you?
I'm in Madrid. I'm on stage at TechEd. Can it wait?
Well, if you want to keep this job, you better take it to school then.
Ah, okay. Well, can you make it really, really quick? Because
yeah.
I've actually...
Well, I've got people queuing up outside the service desk. The whole network is slowing down because of some application problems. I don't know what's going on. What have you got to say about it?
Well, you asked me this morning about this, and I did check the SCOM console, and everything seems to be fine. The servers look up.
Well, it's not good you're looking at the service. And what I'm telling you, the situation here is absolutely dire. You promised me some kind of dashboard, some analysis you're going to give me a while back. Where is it?
Well, I did send you through a link to the SCOM console last week, and, you know, it's got lots of alerts in there, and there's over 200 reports in that console.
No, that's not good enough for me. I'm a busy man. You told me there's something to do with some dashboard or some summary reports you're going to give me that I'm going to see and will give me much better visibility of RSLA.
Okay, well, you know, I'm doing a session now, so maybe I can knock something up if the guys in the room don't mind, that I can send to you after the session. How does that sound?
Well, yeah, and while you're at it, could you take away those 5 9s to the 5 10s, please?
So you want 5 10s SLAs rather
than
5 9s?
Yeah, absolutely, and you better hurry up. I've got a phone call to take.
Okay, right, well, let me see what I can do, yeah?
Okay, fine.
All right. Oh, dear. Okay, so in the boss's bad books yet again. How many people have kind of had a call like that in their lifetime? Pretty much most people in the room, yeah? Snotty boss, doesn't really understand what you do as an IT pro or developer even, for the gentleman in the front. You know, he really wants visibility. He doesn't get visibility of his resources. So obviously you probably guessed that wasn't really me on link there. But that, you know, I wanted to kind of just show you that as it kind of sets the scene for what I'm going to talk about today. Now, just going back to where I left off, for you IT pros in the room, I've got some stuff aimed directly at you for the first part of the session. For you developers, bear with me because I have got some stuff for you. And you IT pros, the development stuff, it's not rock hard development. It's stuff that I think that you'll really be able to get to grips with very quickly. So let's take a look at the agenda. So first thing I'm going to do is kind of analyze that call and set the scene for what we're going to talk about today. And then we're going to talk about what is capacity planning. So how many people do capacity planning today in their environment? Some sort of capacity planning. Good. So most of the room. So we're going to talk about that, and we'll talk about the different types of capacity planning there is. And then we're going to talk about collecting the data. So we're going to specifically look at Operations Manager, a tool that people don't normally think about when they come to capacity planning, but it collects lots of really great data about performance, alerts, SLAs. So it's actually a really, really credible tool. It's just there isn't much out of the box with Operations Manager that allows you to to actually turn it into a capacity planning project product. So I'm actually going to try and show you that today and show you how you can take Operations Manager a step further. We're then going to go into some demos. I'm going to attempt some easy demos. I'm going to attempt some difficult demos today. But basically, we're going to look at the Ops Manager Data Warehouse, and we're going to look at Visual Studio. And again, you IT pros, don't get too worried. We're not going to go too deep into Visual Studio. But we're going to look at Visual Studio, and we're going to look at SharePoint 2013, and we're going to look at how we can create OLAP cubes and dashboards on top of your Operations Manager Data. So I think that'll be quite interesting. Finally, we're going to look at forecasting, and we're going to look at a couple of third-party offerings that are on the market as well, just to give you some food for thought if you don't fancy getting your hands dirty with Visual Studio. So hopefully something for everybody today. So let's start off by kind of analysing that little kind of role play exercise I did at the beginning. Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, it should be up there already, I think. So it will definitely be available afterwards, yeah. So let's take a little analysis of that kind of little role play that I did. So it was very clear in that environment that actually I had no capacity planning function in place. My boss had had some kind of capacity planning. He'd been able to go in and understand why our servers weren't kind of running to full potential. And you know, most organizations, this is because people don't have a kind of framework in place, so they can't measure, scorecard, or predict future performance. And all, you know, what this really leads to here is a lot of non-fact-based decisions going on. So what was going on there with my boss was he was making a lot of emotion-based decisions or making a lot of emotion-based thought because he doesn't really have the facts at hand to find that. And, you know, typically this leads to two things, not having this in place. Either budget overruns, where you put too much, you know, we overrun on the budget for a project and we have to pull in other budget, or budget underruns, where we actually allocate too much budget to a project and then we find out that we've got a pot at the end that we have to explain to our bosses. So, you know, what is capacity planning? So how many people in here implement the MOF framework in their environment, Microsoft Operation Framework? So that's two people. How many people implement ITIL in their organization? Okay, that's pretty much everyone else. So, you know, I kind of think of MOF as being kind of Microsoft slant on ITIL. A lot of people kind of argue me. It's kind of simplified way of doing ITIL, but it's very much relevant around Microsoft products. So if you're a complete Microsoft shop, it's very relevant to you. If you've got bits of Microsoft and bits of other stuff, you know, maybe ITIL. I know, particularly in the UK where I'm from, ITIL's the main you know, process that people run. And ITIL has some very clear definitions around what capacity planning is. Basically, there's three types of capacity planning that you have in most organizations, well, according to the ITIL definitions. You have business capacity planning. Now, this is where we take input from the business. So this might be acquisitions or mergers that are happening within the business. It might be expected growth over the next 12 months, and these are kind of figures that we take into account. We then have service capacity planning, where we look more at the end-to-end services that we deliver in the business, and we look at kind of how they're running, what the impact for them is. Again, if it's a messaging service, and I'm going to add, you know, 10,000 users to it over the next 18 months, then you know, I need to take those figures into account when I'm doing my capacity planning metrics. And we can use tools like Operations Manager to do that, because Operations Manager is an end-to-end monitoring product, so we can take input from that as well. And the final one is component capacity planning. So this is where we look at individual things like disk, CPU, and we actually take data from those particular elements and add them into our capacity planning equation. So the kind of key questions that you need to really be asking yourself when doing your capacity planning, and some of you are probably doing this already, but are, you know, what's the future business and IT plans for growth? So what's the business got in store over the next 12 months? You know, what are the business peaks and business troughs? So, you know, you think about a sales organization round about this time of the year, there's going to be all the sales guys on the CRM system bashing all the finance systems. So you need to understand that and allow for capacity for that as well. But also, how do you maximize those quiet times? So obviously, the week after FY, most of the salesmen will be taking a holiday. and those systems won't be as heavily utilized. So, you know, how can we maximize that? Maybe shutting down applications that aren't running, for example. So the other thing is, what historical trend data can we analyze to kind of evaluate what our current capacity is? So, you know, it amazes me. I go into a lot of organizations that run Operations Manager, and they go and buy and spend a load of money on a brand new capacity planning tool, only to, you know, and only for me to show them all the data that they can use within Operations Manager. Operations Manager collects all the data you need to do capacity planning. Why deploy another agent, more databases? You know, it's surfacing that data, which is, you know, the harder element with that. So finally, how can we meet the capacity predictions of the organization in the simplest and most cost-effective way? And again, you know, these are, if anybody's kind of interested in diving to this, there's a whole section on capacity planning in the MOF handbook, which is available at that URL at the end. So let's look at capacity planning strategies. Well, the first one is a lead strategy. Now, this is kind of, and I do meet a lot of big organizations that do this. This is guesstimates and what ifs. So this is somebody deploying a messaging system and having a stab in the dark at what they think the infrastructure that needs to go under that shall be. And this is the one that massively affects budget, can affect service delivery, because if that messaging app runs to a halt, or if you're depriving resources from another one. And typically, this leads to people over-provisioning. Now, we've kind of gone away from that. You know, gone are the days where I used to go in and put in an Operations Manager server, and the customer would say, what spec? I'd say, well, how much can you go up to? You know, and you'd over-spec as a consultant with a capacity. You know, these days with virtualization, people are a little less likely to do that. The second one is lag strategy. Now, this is the one where probably a lot of the people within the room are at today. And this is where we're reactive. You know, so our messaging system runs out of capacity, our users are complaining that it's slow, so we add more capacity to it. You know, we might add more disk, we might add more CPU, but really the best strategy to get into around capacity planning is what we term the match strategy. This is where we use forecasting and trending to accurately predict the capacity of a machine over a period of time. So, you know, it's easy me standing up here and talking about that, but there are some challenges around that. So one of the management challenges is that, you know, we live in a much more complex world than we did, say, 5-10 years ago. You know, we have, on-premise applications, sometimes off-premise applications. You know, we're moving into a world where we're using public cloud and private cloud, you know, very much hybrid environments. Also as well, mobility. People are on the road more now, and people want access to data 24/7. So, you know, how do we kind of deal with the collection of that data from those different types of elements? And of course, you know, the whole service component game is very complicated. You know, a very kind of colorful diagram on the board here. But, you know, we typically have a service which, you know, might have 3 tiers, and those tiers might stretch across multiple sites. We might have private cloud, public cloud, hybrid. And we need to not only be able to deliver this, but manage and protect these. So lots of kind of moving parts that we need to be able to collect data from. And my clicker's just stopped working. There we go. So why use Operations Manager? Well, it's the perfect tool. Well, and I would say that because it's my baby, but, you know, it is a really good tool for collecting all this data. You know, it's come a hell of a long way since the very early days of MOM 2000. How many people here run Operations Manager today in their environments? Okay, pretty much everybody, so I won't go down. How many people ran MOM 2000 in their environments? Okay, one or two. Totally different product today as it was back then, isn't it? So it's come a long way. And actually, you know, it's heterogeneous now. It's multi-platform. You might have seen, you know, some of you might have gone up to SP1, and you might have seen the R2. We're expanding the platform. So, you know, we can manage Unix and Linux. We've got hybrid cloud management within Operations Manager now. We can manage the private cloud and the public cloud. And, you know, if you get to see, there's actually a session this week around the new Fabric Manager Pack with Ops Manager. Definitely worth looking at that, how you can manage your environments fully. And, you know, Operations Manager, people say to me, what is it? I say, well, it's a monitoring tool that's proactive by nature. That's a good way of summing it up. because I'd much rather know about something 5 minutes before it becomes a service down issue than 5 minutes after. So it's by nature proactive monitoring pack. And it, you know, it has agents, the kind of lifeblood in the operations manager, as you guys will mostly know that have deployed it, is the management packs. It's also the thing that, you know, it takes up most of your time on there, tuning those management packs, but they're all kind of delivered from the product team and third party distributed applications. Out of you guys that do operations manager, how many of you use distributed applications? That's really interesting. So about a third, maybe, of the people that have got operations manager. I strongly believe, I strongly believe that distributed application monitoring is the most powerful part of operations manager if you get it right. Yeah, the problem is it's kind of not always as useful as it seems out of the box. I'm going to kind of show you some of that today and show you, you know, some different ways of doing distributed application monitoring. Synthetic transactions, getting into the end user's shoes and simulating user logons with synthetic transactions. Funnily enough, I'm getting into lots and lots of desktop monitoring projects now with Operations Manager. You know, and actually desktop teams are kind of more beaten up by the business and server teams sometimes because they're in the front line, you know, and they don't have any monitoring tools. You know, it's literally people coming up to their desk or putting in support desk tools. So synthetic transactions simulating the users from an office, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, you Ops Manager guys might well know that we've got GSM today as well, which is a way of extending synthetic transactions out into Microsoft's public cloud as well to get some extra flexibility. Service level tracking. My CIO there was talking about wanting 5.10s, if there ever is such a thing. But, you know, we have service level tracking. If we get this right, it's very easy to do this, service level tracking, because we can do service level tracking on the availability of applications we built in our distributed application designer. There is inbuilt reports in Operations Manager, you know, and you can customize these, but, you know, do they really give you capacity planning? No, they kind of tell you about individual components. We have service level dashboards. We have a very good Operations Manager data warehouse. And of course, we have SharePoint integration now with 2012. So let's jump on. As there's a lot of people with Operations Manager, I'll just fleet over this. Basic infrastructure with Operations Manager, we have agents that you deploy to servers. Those agents actually have no information on them initially. When they're deployed to our monitor servers, they connect back to what we call management servers within Operations Manager. The management servers talk to a SQL database, and basically the management packs are then downloaded to the agents to based on discoveries that happen on those agents. So if I've got SQL 2012 on that monitored server, it will know that and download the management pack for that. So very kind of effective way. It's all over TCP/IP. We now have, with 2012, so how many people run 2007 here today at UOps ones, you guys? Right, a fair few of you. So you experienced that lovely architectural component called a root management server, which you have to throw a ton of memory at just to get it performant. And of course, you know, Microsoft's answer to making them highly available is cluster that. And how many people have actually clustered their 2007? Management server, not, you know, a few people, but not many people do because it's a pain in the backside. So we have this new concept in 2012 of a management server resource pool. So now every management server in 2012 is a root management server, if you like, in concept. But we have management server resource pools. We can create these VMs. We can create these on VMs, so it's virtualized. And if we want better scalability, better performance, we just scale out this management server resource pool with VMs. So, you know, the architecture now, I think, is kind of exactly where it needs to be. It's very flexible, very scalable. And then, of course, we have a report and serving function on the back end as well. Okay, so collecting the data. I'm going to jump in and give you a very quick demo on Operations Manager. Okay, so I'm going to talk about distributed application monitoring because it was interesting that we had a lot of show of hands for Ops Manager and very few people that use distributed application modeling. So I'm going to show you kind of how to make this effective, and I hope this kind of will be useful to you guys. So I'm just going to open up my my diagram view here, and I'm going to get rid of my detail pane there. Now what I've got here is a line of business application in my environment, and this just happens to be a BI app that we run in our environment. And what I've actually done is I've created kind of roll-up component groups for my diagram model. One of the frustrating things I always found about the distributed application designer is you build that very nice hierarchical view in the designer, and then you publish it and you get a flat line with components hanging off it. So, you know, what we try to do is build these exactly like they are. And there's various, you know, the authoring tool, the Visio snap-in for designing, you can do this with. But what I've actually got here is my services tier. And if I actually look in my services tier, you can see that I've broken it down by back end, front end, middle tier. And if I jump into my back end, you can see that within here I've got my SQL databases. And what I've actually also included in the back end, and you might call this the data tier. I call it back end because that's kind of what it is to me. I've also got my SQL database engine. Now, the interesting thing here is what I've done in this distributed application view is I've got my database rolling up, but I haven't got my SQL database engine rolling up. Because for me, and particularly when I'm looking at SLAs, availability of my application is whether my SQL database is available or not. Yeah, if my SQL server is running out of disk space, yeah, that's a problem that I want to be identified about, but it's until my database is down, my application is still available. You know, so you can do some kind of clever roll-up scenarios around this. And then what I've actually got on my OS, I've got my OS here. So this is my physical operating system that my SQL server runs upon, and I've got my operations manager agent in there as well. And what you might also include in this back end is your storage. So if you're using NetApp or, you know, even SMB today, you can add your storage element into that. And, you know, if you're running on a virtualized platform, you could add your VM in there. Sometimes in these diagrams, I even add the host that the VM's running on. Because if there's performance issues, I might want to understand whether that's related to the host. You know, if you're using a VMware, you can use something like Veeam or Bridgewaste to simulate that VMware layer. And you might even include network devices in this that make up my back end as well. Yeah, so what I'm basically doing is grouping together all of the components that make up the back end of my server. Similar for the front end, except I've got websites and app pools in there. And then actually my middle tier for this app is actually SQL reporting services. But similarly, I've grouped together all of the resources, the operating system, those other elements that make up the back end of my application. Now, what I've actually got over here on the left is my client experience. So what I've actually got here is network probes. Now, I've actually got physical offices in all these locations. So I've got network probes, which is just a desktop PC sat in the actual office location that these users are at. And I'm simply running a URL check against that particular office. So it's just a website check to make sure the front of my application is up. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we have GSM now, which is available to you all who have 2012, that is. And GSM allows you to push these web transactions out into Microsoft's cloud. So you can pick the Dublin data center, the Amsterdam data center, and you can have probes running from those data centers back against the front end of your application. And this really allows me to understand what the business impact of that being down. Now, I run them on desktop PCs because I don't want them to affect users, and they're standalone desktop PCs, but they're actually sat in the physical locations where my end users are sat. So I'm kind of benchmarking the user experience. It's not an exact science. I'm not going to exactly understand what's going on the desktop, but it gives me a really, really good benchmark. Now, actually, for the network layer, I'm actually not using network devices. I'm using the best network management tool known to man. Can anybody tell me what that is? Sorry? No. Well, yes, but anybody tell me what one of the best network management tools that you guys have ever used in your life is? Ping. Yeah, exactly. I'm actually just using a little freebie ping script. And this is just an ops logic ping script here. And what I'm actually doing is I'm running that ping from the same PC that I'm running the synthetic transactions from. And that's designed to just give me a benchmark again from that PC, so I can compare whether my synthetic transaction running slow is actually related to network latency. And it's amazing. I've rolled this out quite a lot of times with customers to different locations, and they've said to me, no, all my sites have exactly the same network setup. And then we run these ping scripts, and actually we find out that we've got 7 or 8 very different results in terms of network latency. So it's a great thing. And you think about network guys. Network guys do network device to network device. You know, so they can only tell you what latency is going on from that point of view. But what do you really want to know? You want to know user to data center. That's kind of the network stat that you put on. So it's a very useful exercise to do, just set up that network ping. So what I'm actually going to do, I'm just going to go on to one of my servers. I'm just going to kill a website on here. And hopefully, in a couple of seconds, we should get a nice little outage going on. He says. And I'll just double check that I did kill that. There we go. So what I'm actually going to do here is I'm going to highlight my app, and actually you can see here that I've got a little problem path button at the top. So what I'm actually going to, I'm going to click on that, and what that's doing is that's telling me what's going on in my environment. Now, interestingly here, my end user probes have gone first. So I now know from a business impact point of view that London, Singapore and Sydney are down. Now, what I might choose to do at this point is send an email to those offices to say, hey, IT knows there's a problem and we're working on a fix. So MSIT do something really similar internally where when stuff goes down, they have an automate. You might use Orchestrator to automate out an email that says, hey, IT, you know there's an issue. It's amazing how doing something like that can raise a user's perception of IT. You know, something we did the other day, which was good, is we created a dashboard with in actually Cervision Live Maps for a customer that had all of their key line of business applications, and we got the users to go to that status dashboard first before they log a ticket. Yeah, and basically we can, you know, they know that there's a problem with that app. It's amazing again how that can raise user perception and cut down on the amount of support calls. Now, the reason this has gone first is that I've got my synthetic transactions on slightly tweakier frequencies than I've got the rest of my app. So I'm just going to do a quick refresh on this again. And I'm just going to click on my problem path button. There we go. So what I've actually got here now is quite a significant view. So I know now that each one of my office locations is down. I also know that it's not a network issue because my ping script is still green. Yeah, so I know that it's a problem with the application. I can also see here that it's services, it's front end, it's websites, and it's actually this SharePoint website that's down. So that's kind of instant root cause analysis and business impact. And what I can actually do in here now is I can kind of right click, I can bring up the Health Explorer for that app, and I can actually go down to my website availability. I can view that nice knowledge I get around there, and I can view state change events, so I can see when it went down. That's been down this morning as well. And then nicely in here, I have that little inbuilt task that as a first line guy, I can basically run to fix the particular problem. So root cause analysis and very quick fix, that's kind of what distributed applications bring to the table. I'll just a quick refresh on that. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of green in a minute. And we should see that starting to go online. Going to click on that. There we go. So you can see now that my synthetic transactions have cleared up. Again, because I've got them on tighter frequencies. And actually, in a couple of minutes, my hopefully the rest of it will go nice and green. There we go. So I've got a nice green app again. So root cause analysis, understanding the business impact, and then understanding what's going on under the covers. And actually, what I'm collecting, the reason I'm showing you this is what I'm collecting under the covers is all of the data specific to that application. So when we jump into the deeper capacity planning stuff, we've got a good kind of domain for the data, if you like, that's all in one particular place. Now, just one other thing that I want to kind of show you quickly in here is service level tracking for those who haven't done this already. So I'm actually just going to create a very simple service level tracking object. So I'm going to go into service level tracking. I'm going to go create in here. And I'm going to call it Happy CIO SLA, so because this is for him. I'm going to select a target class, and I'm going to actually choose that distributed application model that I created, well, that I didn't create, that I just showed you in the other step. And I'm going to add a couple of SLAs. So the two options that we have around SLAs are monitoring state and monitor collection. So monitoring state, with this one, I want to show the SLA on the entire application from an availability perspective. An ops manager understands in that application what is a down state and what's a performance state. And you can actually choose now with 2012 whether or not you want to roll up performance, configuration, and security into your DAD model. That wasn't available before. Now, the collection state is where I want to pick a specific performance counter. It might be CPU or memory, and I might want to map that over a period of time. So for this particular one, as my boss was screaming about 510s, I'm actually going to call this Happy CIO 510s. And I'm actually going to pull that up to 10 there. And then I'm just going to click it next, and then I'm going to, five clicks there, and I've created a service level tracking object. And actually, this is very easy now for me to display this, because Ops Manager 2012 has a new SharePoint web part, and I can publish my service level tracking objects up to that SharePoint web part and display that for my CIO. Or, I could give him, probably not give him access to the console after he complained about that, but definitely SharePoint is something that I know he uses a lot, so I can push that up to SharePoint, and I'll show that a little bit later on. So let's just flip back to the presentation. So that really was all about the collection of the data. That's what we're going to use Ops Manager, and I've showed you some ways that you can group that data together and you can kind of build out your capacity planning views for your applications. So let's shoot on. So that was collecting Operations Manager. Now, the other three elements that I'm going to talk about today around capacity planning are actually measure, publish, and forecast. And I'm actually going to jump quickly through these slides because I want to get in and demo this. But for the measuring element, we're going to use SQL Server Analysis Services. So yes, we have an Ops Manager data warehouse, but I need something a little bit more analytical that I can create dashboards off. So for that, we're actually going to use OLAP, or SQL Server Analysis Services. To publish it, we're going to actually use SharePoint 2013. I don't know how many people have seen that. It's got a lovely new interface and some great new features in it. And actually, for the forecasting element, it's interesting. We used to do this in Performance Point back in the early SharePoint days, but now there are some great new analysis features within SQL Server 2012 that allow us to add forecasting algorithms into the data that we're mining within our OLAP queue. So let's talk about the elements around building a self-service portal. So we've got a number of different users in the organization. I've got my exec. Oh, let me just go back one. We've got our exec. So we were talking earlier about our exec. What's he interested in? Well, he's not interested really in, he's interested in dashboards, high-level dashboards. That's what he wants, that are generated out of Ops Manager. So he wants something high-level, 50,000 feet, maybe just shows his SLAs. And we can pull that directly off the data warehouse. So I've just showed you how we can create an SLA dashboard, and I'll show you how that's displayed later. Now, IT managers want something a little bit deeper. They want to be able to analyze that data and maybe slice and dice it, pivot it, bring it into spreadsheets, display it in PowerPoints. So for this, we actually use Performance Point sitting off an OLAP cube. And the OLAP cube sits off the Ops Manager data warehouse. Now, our IT analysts might require something a little bit different. They probably might want to use the analysis piece, but they want custom reports. And the custom reports we can do through SQL Server reporting services. And then, of course, our IT operators typically just want the default reports that are in Operations Manager. So those are the kind of key elements around that. The building blocks for this, again, are Ops Manager, SQL Server Analysis Services, and SharePoint Performance Point. And, you know, let's talk about the Ops Manager Data Warehouse quickly. Well, it's a live data warehouse. What do I mean by that? So as I collect a memory or a CPU metric, I'm not only putting it live into the Ops Manager operational DB, but I'm also putting it live at the same time into the data warehouse. So if I'm taking, you know, 5, 10, 15-minute samples, I'm putting them in both databases. So when I run reports off that live data warehouse, it actually allows me to pull those reports right up to the minute with the last data metric. Now, there's multiple aggregates that Operations Manager supports. It is a proper data warehouse. We have raw data that's in the data warehouse. So there's typically about a month worth of raw data that we keep. After that, we basically go into aggregate. So we aggregate the data into hourly and daily functions. You know, because really, if I'm looking at a CPU metric that I'm collecting every 15 minutes, and I'm looking at that over 6 months, I don't really want to be seeing every single metric. I want a summary of that, either hourly or daily, so that I can analyze the data correctly. So one thing I will say, when you're getting into your dashboarding and reporting, which I'm sure you're going to run away after this session and do, basically make sure that you report only off the Ops Manager data warehouse. So I went into an organization the other week, and they were actually had all these pretty dashboards in their NOC, but they were actually had these dashboards pointing and SRS reports at their Ops Manager operational DB. Yeah. Now, the problem with that, when we looked at their Ops Manager console, firstly, we couldn't open it. And secondly, when we looked under the covers, there was loads of database locks going on. So although they had these great dashboards, they had a very poor performing Ops Manager console. And actually, you know, the four kinds of data that we keep in the data warehouse are alert data, state data, so that's data that has changed the health state, performance data, and events. A couple of boring slides that I'm going to flick through now, but I kind of wanted to show you these anyway, and they're good for you to take away and know. So managed entity state. So this is how Ops Manager stores state information. So it's just vManaged entity all the way up to service level objective. This is where we capture our information about state changes. We then have a performance collection entity table. So for those who know your data warehouses, you'll know that these are proper kind of tables that sit in a fact area of the data warehouse that do that. So with this, we can actually go all the way from service level objective up to our performance rules. And this will pull together a little bit when I get into the demo with you. We have Operations Manager fact tables as well that I mentioned. So these include things like alert description and simple count and manage entity ID. And actually, service level information is installed in a separate table as well. So I'm going to, before I dive into the demo, I just want to do a little thing. So linking distributed apps to contained entities. Now, the reason that I went through the distributed application is you can actually use this when you're doing your dashboards as a way of domaining your data together, as I mentioned. And you can actually use stored procedures to actually link the data directly to your tables. SQL Server Analysis Services, why do we use this? Because it's just like a Rubik's Cube. I like that picture and put it up there. That's why that's on there. I'm probably showing my age now, really, with a Rubik's Cube. So it's a core component of SQL Server. SQL Server Analysis Services is actually what hosts your OLAP cube element. And it's designed for large data volumes and very quick aggregation. So when we build out our cube in a second, you'll see how quick it is at returning the data from the Ops Manager Data Warehouse. And actually much, much quicker at returning data than the Ops Manager Data Warehouse natively. And it also contains now, with 2012, statistical algorithms that include forecasting. So this is for doing the kind of what-if analysis type on the data that we do. So a couple of things around the cube components. So we have measure groups within a cube. A measure group typically contains things like numeric and calculated values. So for example, how long has something remained in a critical state over a period of time? We then have our dimensions within our cube, which are actually the attributes of the measures. So that thing in percentage time in critical, what is the object path for that? So what is the actual object that we're doing that? And these are pre-aggregated and optimized for slice and dice, which make it very, very good for things like performance point. So why performance point rather than things like power pivot and power view? Well, actually, power pivot and power view are kind of in-memory applications. And actually, the large amounts of data that we'll be pulling from the data warehouse don't really lend well to those type of tools. However, performance point is very good. It's embedded into SharePoint, which means I can make it very publicly available. It is a slice and dice tool. So it's designed exactly for OLAP. It's, for those who don't know, performance point came from an acquisition that Microsoft made many years ago of a product called ProClarity, which was a kind of BI application. And, you know, for SharePoint 2007, it was a standalone tool. It's now completely bedded into SharePoint as a service that you run. And the thing that I like about it, and I'm going to demonstrate to you, it's a click once easy design for end users. So very simple to get your heads into. Now, just finally, before we jump into the demo, we've got performance point components. So we have KPIs. These are key performance indicators that tell us what's going on in our environment and what we measure our targets against. We then have filters that we can use to filter out certain elements that we don't want. We then have indicators. So, for example, we can add to our KPI chart little smiley faces and things like that that indicate kind of what certain conditions meet. We then have reports, which we can actually bed into scorecards, which we can then publish into dashboards. And I've got a few slides. So typically, we create our indicators. Again, we add our indicators to our KPIs. Our KPIs then are put into a scorecard. We might even add a report to a scorecard, because everybody kind of likes graphs and pie charts and line charts. And then we can filter data on that, and then we publish that all up in our dashboard. So let's get in and actually jump in and do a little bit of a demo around this. And just... Okay, so Visual Studio. I hear a few IT pros going, ooh... But this is, just bear with me with this, because this is, it's quite an easy demo that I'm going to do. So I'm using Visual Studio here. And what I'm actually going to do, I'm going to just create a new project. And I'm actually using, I've obviously got the BI components installed around this as well. And I'm actually going to choose an analysis services multi-dimensional data mining project. And I'm just going to give that a name. So I can identify that project. And that's going to kind of load up my first project. So the very first thing that I'm going to do in my project is I'm going to select my data source. And actually, because I've already been using this with a number of different projects, my data connection's already selected. So I'm going to go through. I'm just going to put in a username and password for this. And I'm just going to add my password in and then click finish. So next is my data source view. So I'm going to add in a new data source view here. And I'm just going to kind of, again, flick the defaults. Now I'm looking for a number of different elements here. So the first one that I'm looking for is my vManaged manage entity. And if I just make this big so you can see this, I've got my V managed entity types. Now we brushed over these in the charts earlier on. I'm just going to pick my V managed entity VBO. The next one that I'm interested in is my V perf hourly function. So this is so that I can pull some nice perf data out. So I'm going to add that to my data sources. Now I'm looking for my V performance instance And I'm sure I spelt that wrong. The performance site rule instance. I'm just going to add that in. And finally, I'm just looking for my rule data. So I've got a combination of both rules that I'm collecting and performance data that I'm collecting. So I'm just going to add that in as well. So those are my four main elements that I'm going to choose with this little demo. And I'll show you in a little bit one that I did earlier. Now, what I'm actually going to do here is I'm going to link a few of these up. So I'm going to link my entity row ID to my entity row ID and my perf hourly. And I'm going to now link my performance instance ID to my row ID in here. Sorry, let me just do that. And finally, I'm going to add my performance row ID to my performance ID. So I've just linked the cubes together basically in a view. So next I'm actually going to go in and create my new cube. So I'm going to use an existing table with that. Now for this demo, I'm just going to choose the vperf hourly. And you can see there that it's automatically picked out things like sample counts, min max value, standard deviation. And I'm going to go forward and choose finish on that. So my next thing now is to process. I've got my main structure of my cube with my vperf hourly at the top. What I'm actually going to go in, I'm going to process my cube and build that. So this is the bit where it's going to actually take the data that I put together and it's going to create my cube for me and process that ready to run. And this is really the starting point of me kind of building out my modeling. Now, so far, it's not anything that any of you couldn't handle, I don't think, no? Yeah? Yeah, how many people at UIT Pros in the room actually use Visual Studio in your day-to-day life today? Yeah, a third of the room. Okay. So my process has succeeded there, and I'm just going to kind of close that out there. I'm going to go to my browser now. And you can see there that my cube's been created off my data warehouse. I've got some measures in there that I've added. You can see my X value. I've got some KPIs, some managed entity objects, and some performance rule. So I'm just going to drag average value across there. And then I'm actually going to add my entity row ID. And I'm just going to add my performance rule instance ID. Right, now at this point, doesn't really mean anything. Yeah, I've got a lot of numbers on a page. So what I want to add is some of my context sensitive stuff from Operations Manager. So I'm just going to drag across my full name, my path, my name, and my display name. And I'm just going to actually process that very quickly. And also as well, I'm going to jump into my performance ID, and there's me switching Yammer off. Go into my performance ID element. Sorry, my performance element there. I'm just going to add a couple of elements from here just to give my text a little bit more meaning. And I'm going to use default name, system name, rule description. Now again, I'm just going to run my little process icon there to process this. And then I'm going to go back to my cube and you'll start to see this coming together in some context that you can understand a little bit better. Okay, so I'm going to go back to my cube and I'm just going to do a little refresh on this here. There you go, just as a live demo. Just got to reprocess my cube with my tables there now. You know, and really, you know, the demo that I'm going through here is as simple as it is to get running with your own OLAP cube off the Ops Manager data warehouse. So I'm just going to close that out now. And what you can actually see over here on the left when I do a refresh, you can see now under my entity ID, I can start to drag things like display name in. so I can understand where that's actually come from. I can do my rule default description, my rule system name. So I can now understand what this data actually refers to. I've got management group collection state. And I might at this point just use something like Excel to be able to report this data up or publish this somewhere that my engineers can come into. But what we're actually all about here is kind of the publishing. So what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to jump in and we're going to look at SharePoint 2013. Oh, actually, first of all, let me just go back to Visual Studio. Just to show you one that I did earlier, and you know, this is a more complex one. I've actually got some cubes here that I've created for different elements within Operations Manager. So I've got a raw performance cube, I've got a performance hourly cube, I've got an events cube, a state daily cube, an all daily cube there. And all of these have different elements that I've added, metadata around things like alert priority, alert severity. So I can start to really get deep and dirty down in this data that I'm running. So now let's kind of look at the publish element here. So we're actually using SharePoint 2013 here, just because I love this new interface, but you can do the same kind of element within SharePoint 2010. And actually I'm just using the performance point content here. So if I double check click into this, and just wait a couple of seconds. And actually this is a performance point content that I've published. And what I can actually do now is I can go into performance point and I can bring up the dashboard designer, which I have already got open down at the bottom here. So now in my dashboard designer, I can start to pull together the pieces. So the very first thing that I want to do is I want to look at KPIs. So I can kind of right click in here and I can create a new KPI. And a KPI would be for measuring things like CPU or availability or system uptime. And I can actually go into my, I can pick a KPI template. And again, I can go in here and choose an indicator that I want to display. Again, we did one the other week that had kind of smiley faces on it. But you know, you can choose those type of indicators. Just to show you a couple that I've done earlier for time. I've got an available megabytes one that we've got here. I'll just make that full screen. And you can see there that I've got a raw, I've picked the raw Windows Server 2008 operating system sample here. And if I look at my values there, you can see what I've done as a KPI is I've chosen a best, a worst, and I've added a couple of thresholds to that KPI. Same with a CPU. So I've got an actual target there, and I've chosen a best, a worst, and some thresholds for both healthy and critical on my KPI. So what I'm actually going to do now is I'm going to create what we call a scorecard that I can add my KPIs into. So I'm just change my data source there. And what I'm actually going to do is I'm going to go into those two KPIs that I've got, and I'm going to drag my available megabytes across, and then I'm going to drag my CPU across. So I've got my available megabytes and CPU. I'm just going to change the data source there so I'm looking at the data that I want. And I'm basically going to look at monitored object and path as my target item there. And what I'm actually going to do for ease of use here, rather than pick out the data source that I want, I'm just going to auto-select all of the children within there. And I'm just going to go in and use the filter. Remember, we were talking about filters a little bit later. So I'm going to view my settings of my downward display. I'm going to go in, I'm going to filter out empty rows and just things that I'm not interested from that element point of view. And I've got, what that will actually do is create my first part of this score. So it will create my KPI view. So I can then now with my, I'm just going to change the name of this. Happy CIO dash. And I'm just going to basically publish that now. Let's do that again. Just going to save that down. And I'm just going to publish that out to SharePoint. Now, the next thing that I want to do now is I'm going to actually go in and I'm going to create a dashboard. And I'm just going to pick a default dashboard there. And what I'm going to do is drag that report in that I created earlier into my left column. So that's my CI report. And now I can actually just publish this to SharePoint. And you'll see it start to take shape. And actually, I can choose, this is actually picking a default here, but I can choose a default site master and I can skin that page up and I can put my own corporate logo on it. I'm just going to put it in my default place for reports. And I've got to spin through this as I've got about 4 minutes to finish the demo. So I've got my happy CIO report there. And what I'm actually going to do now is, in fact, I'm actually going to move that across there and I'm going to put my key performance indicators into here. And I'm actually going to put my report over there because although that's nice in there, it's a little bit bare. I want to put a little bit more data. So I'm going to add my happy CIO report and I'm actually going to just link these two reports together. And I'm just going to basically just rename that. And then I'm just going to publish that out. To my SharePoint site again. And now what I have in my report now is a nice KPI chart over on the left, which has got kind of key performance indicators around critical seats. And over here on the right, I have a drillable report that shows me CPU. So what I can actually do now with this is I can do some filtering. I can filter the empty series. And then I can filter the empty access. Excuse me. And I've got, you know, something which I can now go and present to my CIO. So what's that? That's like 10, 12 minutes there. And we've gone from an Ops Manager DB to an OLAP cube to something that I can present to my CIO as a chart. And it's a drillable down report. So I can actually drill down in this to individual data and, you know, go down into that particular month. And then I kind of might want to kind of drill down by a particular day. I can then, you know, for people who don't want that kind of graph form, I can change the report type to a grid. And I might want to print that off to Excel there. So I think these kind of things are much more useful than developing reports. They're like interactive drill down report elements. And I can actually, you know, export that to PowerPoint, export it to Excel. Just going to flick it back to a line chart. There. So, you know, some people kind of like that kind of line chart. And then I can kind of filter that down by particular angles. So I've got, and then I'm going to put that back to a bar chart. So I've got, you know, data that my boss can use and he can, and drillable. So I think that's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah? Yeah, easy? Thank you. So so question for you guys, how many people thinks they might go back and have a go at that? Okay. Right, so not as many as people as put their hands up for Ops Manager. So just to kind of close back here, so if you're scared of Visual Studio and you want to get your head into that, do you think you'll go back and have a go at that? You probably do that already. Okay, cool. So, you know, for those who kind of, first of all, let me just flick back and do that. So for those who don't think that they want to do that, there are a number of third-party offerings that are available. And just to flick back to my demo really quickly, and I just kind of wanted to show you what an end dashboard might look like for your CIO. So here I'm actually using a Visio snap-in. We actually more commonly use Vision Live Maps for this kind of thing. But this is actually, remember that distributed application model that we looked at earlier? These are the client elements that I've dragged onto a map. Yeah, and then these are live icons that are actually lit up. I might then choose to do something in SIG report and services. Bit garish, I know, but CIOs kind of like the bright and the beautiful. So this is just a SQL report and services report, kind of for an operational guide, because it's looking at alerts that we're looking at SCOM, priority, CIO, dash health. For those of you who like SLAs, remember that SLA tracking objects that I created earlier? Well, this is the end result. This is an ops manager SLA dashboard embedded into SharePoint. So again, looking at that same distributed application that we did earlier, client experience network services. Here's a bit of a performance point. Now, what I've actually done here is I've got a memory dashboard here that I'm going to show you, which is done in performance point. And I've actually broken out and done a separate OS one here. And you can see that I can pull down different computer names that are within my application. And what I can actually do with this here is I can start to do predictive analysis. So you remember I mentioned that there's a forecasting algorithm in analysis services. Well, I can start to build things like a 12-month forecast of data out, or a 36-month forecast of data. And I can do this for both my KPI charts and my performance point. And that's just using that performance point algorithm. And that's where I get into true capacity planning, because I'm doing things like what-if analysis on data over a longer period of time. Again, there's my CPU. Interesting one here. You can see that, if I don't do something about the CPU in these boxes, by the end of 2014, that box is going to be on its backside. So again, I can drill into that because it's a scaled-down report, and I can start to understand when it is that I need to be looking at adding capacity. Fact-based decision-making. Remember we talked about it earlier on? So just flicking straight back to just to close as well. So there are, as I mentioned, for you guys that don't want to kind of do it yourself, there are a few partner offerings on the market. So OpsLogic provide a capacity intelligent management pack for operations manager. So this allows you to do predictive analysis within the operations manager management group. It analyzes the last 6 months' data and predicts behavior over the next 6 months. It's all enabled for things like distributed applications. A few screenshots here. So you specify the thresholds within Operations Manager, and then you get charts within Operations Manager. And obviously, you can publish these then out to SharePoint. There's another one around looking at stuff over a longer period of time. Again, a very neat. Veeam, how many people run VMware today? Okay, so how many people run Veeam? Yeah. So V6 now has some capacity planning reports in. So this isn't just for Windows Server guys. For VMware now, there's some performance forecasting reports around vSphere clusters, host failure modeling, virtual machine capacity prediction. And I just threw in one from Civision as well. Definitely should go and see those guys if you haven't already. They do a really good tool called Live Maps. But they've got a free VMM extension for Hyper-V. Not strictly capacity planning, but it actually gives you some good kind of tips. You snap it into your virtual machine and it tells you stuff over a period of time. So very, very good calls to talk about. So firstly, just to bring this to a close, conclusion, make capacity planning a core function in your business. Yeah, you've got the tools. Yeah, all of the tools needed to do this are in the Microsoft stack. And you need to do that to keep your CIO happy. Yeah, he looks a lot happier now than he did at the beginning of the presentation, doesn't he? And you need to do this also to avoid budget overruns and underruns and make the right investment decisions in your organization. Keep IT in the know. Yeah, keep your bosses in the know. Key steps that we covered today. Collect. Yeah, so collect that data with Operations Manager. Measure that data within your OLAP cube. Publish that data out to SharePoint and use algorithms within OLAP to forecast that data. So that's the end of my session. So a couple of slides that it's not letting me go to. Please, if you've liked this session today, go and be nice to me. And if I see you later on, I might buy you a drink if you give me good marks. So thank you very much. That's been my session on capacity planning.